Tomorrow officially begins the craziest time of the year, I think, with the holiday season, that time that spans from Thanksgiving all the way into Christmas. And you can probably expand that a little longer until a school vacation is done just after New Year's. And for many people, it can be kind of a stressful time. It all starts tomorrow, and there's going to be a lot of time that you spend in the kitchen. Now, sometimes that can be fun. For others, not so fun. It kind of depends on your company in the kitchen. And also, there's that, and this is the most difficult thing for me when you're in the kitchen cooking a lot of dishes, is trying to get them all to be done at the same time. It's a miracle when it happens. It can be stressful things. And then, of course, you're trying to watch, like I said, 10 hours of football straight. And that's hard to do without taking your nap in there, too. It's hard to plan that out. And then, of course, this is followed up quickly by, you know, heartburn, 10 extra pounds on the waistline, and then, of course, the guilt and the remorse that you feel the day after for eating all that food. And then things get more stressful as you throw Black Friday into there. Who here plans on going shopping on Black Friday? Lisa, yeah. So not many people do that, okay, that's fine. Annie's mom thinks it's a gift to us to watch the kids so we can go to Grand Forks on Black Friday. I don't know. So we're going to be there. It can be a stressful time, but chances are if you don't go shopping on Black Friday, you're going to go some other time during this season to find those gifts for your loved ones, because I'm sure you've got lists for everybody, and that can be a stressful thing. One of the things I hate about malls at this time is not just how busy they are, but every single store has this compulsion to put all their stuff from inside their store, outside their store, right in the place where you're supposed to be walking. Drives me nuts. It's just havoc. Why go there? It's a stressful time. If you have kids at home, those lists that you've been hearing about for months and months and months, you finally have to do something about it. You got to figure out if you're going to spoil them or not. You kind of weigh that balance between being generous but not raising up spoiled little jerks. You know, it's a hard thing to strike that balance. It's all stressful. This time of year also brings things like basketball, right, ladies? Lots of practices, games. That's a stressful thing for the players and the parents. You also have a lot of band and choir concerts, Sunday school, Christmas programs, Christmas parties, all those things on the calendar. Things where you have to go and be with other people, do other things, be outside of the home. It's a busy time of year. It's stressful. We bake, we eat, we cook, we eat some more. It's like food is no longer going to exist on January 1st. We just keep going and going and going. We travel, move about from place to place, despite everything about the weather telling us we should stay home. It doesn't make sense this time of year. And during all of this, we are told to be thankful. We're told to be joyful. Now, some of us deal with these stresses better than others. Some of us maybe thrive in these times, but they can be difficult, especially because we're around other people that are stressed as well. You ever notice, maybe some of us get a little bit, you know, snappy at others at this time of year, maybe a little more annoyed with other people at this time of year. I know I'm kind of guilty about that. It's always, though, even if we aren't that kind of a person, there's always something pushing on us, a stress that is pushing on us. Maybe it's not the lightness of the holidays. Maybe it's something a little more serious. Maybe it's our own personal finances. Year end is coming up, and that is always a tricky time for finances. One of the blessings about this job versus being at the camp is I don't have to worry about the books at camp anymore. I don't have to worry about that. December, I hated December because we were always coming up about $60,000 short of where we were supposed to be, and that's a weight off my shoulders. Finances can be a stress. Strained family relationships can be a stress, especially at this time of year because we're going to be around those family members. There's also more serious things too, like our health or maybe the health of loved ones and doubts about what's going to happen there. Those can be stressful times. Whatever it is, the stresses of life can make it hard to not only feel not thankful, not joyful, but it can certainly make it hard and difficult to live with other people, which is unfortunate because we have to live with other people. We're all sinners, and nothing is ever perfect for a sinner, is it? It's just the way it is. And of course, one of the major problems about being a sinful human being is that you have to live and work with other sinful human beings. The simple math is you throw one sinner into a room, things are okay. The more sinners you add, the more trouble you got. I like to think of this like kids. Tomorrow, Annie and I will be going to the farm where I think, let's see, there'll be 3, 5, 8, so about 11 kids, 8 years old and younger. Okay, you take any one of those kids and you put them in a room by themselves, maybe with some adults, play by themselves. They are the sweetest, cutest little tykes there are. You know, it's fun to watch their imaginations. The more kids you add to that room, the more all hell breaks loose. You hear all sorts of crazy things happening. You'll hear things break. And then you hear that dreaded thing, most dreaded of all, which is silence. And then you wonder, what is going on? And by the time you realize that it's just quiet, it's too late. At that time, it's just too late. You just might as well avoid the whole thing altogether. I kind of think of like that with confirmation, by the way. Sorry, Michaela Jackson. But, you know, you're confirmation students. You want proof of this fact about adding more people into a room, and the more crazy it gets, the more rambunctious we get as we're together. Come and look at the confirmation class one Wednesday night. Am I right, Lisa? Yeah, any one of those eighth graders and ninth graders on their own, I'm sure, are just angels. You put them all together in a room, and your vision of who those kids are is completely shattered. And to be honest, your vision of who your pastor is probably a little bit shattered too. Yeah. In our reading from Colossians, Paul tells us that we are to be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient with each other. In fact, God desires for us to take those virtues and put them on as though we're putting them on like they're items of clothing. Paul tells the church that he's writing to that He tells them this, to put these things on, because he's looking at a church that, even though it's a church full of believers, they're full of Christians. He looks at them and he sees that they are still sinners. And as they work and live together, their sin, their natural errancies, their fallacies are going to butt heads with each other. That's just the nature of human beings. And holidays, like I said, really brings that under the microscope. So Paul tells them to live together in peace, to be grateful, and to be thankful. And see, this is God's command for his people. And as a human being, I can tell you this is hard to do. But within Paul's words, there is not only the reason why we should do these things, why we should put on gentleness, why we should be kind, meek, humble. But more importantly, there is a way for how we can, or how we are able to put on gentleness and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, or at least in part be better at those things. In verse 12 and 13, Paul says that God loves you and has chosen you as his own special people. Therefore, you are to put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. As people forgiven by Christ, we have something to be thankful for, no matter what life's circumstances are. And because of this, we should be forgiving to other people. I think we've sang this song here at Celebrate Sundays. It's a song, "We Love Because God First Loved Us." Here, Paul tells us exactly that. That's what he's telling us to do in Colossians. We are only able to be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient with each other because Christ was first all those things to us. He was gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient as he ministered to people on earth, and especially so as he went to the cross for all people. But in going to the cross, Christ did more than just live as an example. He forgives us. And on the cross, he makes us his own. He claims us, and we become really a part of his work of art. I don't know if you've ever thought of that you are God's work of art. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, talks about how we are God's workmanship. The Greek word there is poema, which is where we get the word poem. You are God's poem. You are his work of art. It's an amazing and beautiful thing to think about. Think of it this way. Christ's forgiveness is grasped by those who have faith in him. And those who have faith in him are those who are made into a new creation in holy baptism. And those who are made into a new creation are still being made new by God's Holy Spirit who dwells in them. You are a new creation, but God did not stop the work when he redeemed you from your life of sin. God works in you, making you more and more to reflect the image of Christ. God loves you, and he has chosen you to be his own. He forgives you, and he makes you new. He gives you his holy, life-giving Spirit, which is still working in you and will keep working in you to make you more like Christ until the day your heart stops beating. Through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, we are claimed by God. And through God, we are made to be more like Christ, who was gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient for us before he began to shape us into who he wants us to be. Now, the beautiful thing about all of this is that in Christ, we will get better at being those things that he has called us to be. We will get better at being kind to others, patient with others, loving for others. But when we fail, we can rest in the assurance that Christ has forgiven us. And that is certainly something to be thankful for. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for that greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us a full measure of the Holy Spirit, and that with that Spirit, you would work in us to make us more like you, to reflect you on this earth in greater and bigger ways. We pray especially at this time of the holidays that you would be with us as we be with our family, as we be in stressful situations. We pray these things in your name. Amen.